Thank you, councillors. Ladies and gentlemen, please remain standing for the opening prayer and reconciliation statement. The opening prayer reads, Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council. Direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen.
Amen.
The reconciliation statement declares that Melton City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with the Indigenous occupants, the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people and their elders and descendants past and present. Thank you, councillors, council staff and members of the gallery. You may be seated. I'd just like to remind everyone to switch off their mobiles or put it on silent mode, please. Thank you. And I draw councillors' attention to item number 2, apologies and leave of absence.
No apologies this evening, Madam Mayor.
Item 3, changes to the order of business.
No changes.
Number 4, deputations.
We have no deputations this evening.
Number 5, declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor. Councillors, no. Item number 6, adoption and confirmation of minutes of previous meetings. Do I have a councillor who'd like to move that?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 8th of February 2016 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a councillor to second that?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item number 8, petitions and joint letters.
Madam Mayor, I have a petition here.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn.
Approximately 1,400 signatures, and it states, we, the undersigned, strongly request that the City of Melton cancel the lease agreement with Vodafone at 72-80 Caroline Springs Boulevard, Caroline Springs, Victoria, and in so doing forego the $13,000 in annual rent in response to large and growing opposition from local residents to this agreement. We request this action on the basis that Vodafone, City of Melton, did not write to all schools, sporting clubs, kindergartens, childcare centres, before and after school care centres within a 300 metre radius of the site in relation to the application for a permit to build a mobile phone tower. In doing so, occupiers, students, teachers, parents of students, members of sporting clubs and all other employees were not given the opportunity to comment or object to the application. This is a breach of both Planning Industry Code C564-2011 mobile phone base station deployment, as well as natural justice. We are open to Vodafone finding an alternative, more suitable location in contrast to this community-sensitive location for the mobile phone tower in full consultation with the local community.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Thank you. Item number 9, resumption of debate or other business carried over from a previous meeting.
There's no carried over business, Madam Mayor.
And item number 10, public question time. Thank you, Mr. Tory.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have a number of public questions this evening, and the first question is from Mr. David O'Connor. Mr. O'Connor is in the gallery. His question reads, in November 2014, Council gave an undertaking to investigate the possibility of installing a keep clear line marking at the Welcome Road and Diggers Rest Kamida Road intersection. Unfortunately, the outcome of the investigation was never actioned. Given that works to the intersection have been added to the capital works program for 2015-16, which I think should read 2016-17, budget consideration, what investigations have taken place to retain the Welcome Road bus stop between Mullock Road and Glitter Road, given the proposed restricted bus access at the Welcome Road and Diggers Rest Kamida Road intersection? And Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager, Planning and Development, will respond.
Thanks for that, Dad. I've broken your question there into two parts. The first part in regard to the Keep Clear element. Council did investigate the Keep Clear line marking at the intersection of Welcome Road and Diggers Rest Kamida Road in December 2014 and found it not to be warranted. The Vic Roads guidelines state that the requirement for a Keep Clear line marking is that vehicles turning right into a side road are regularly blocked by the presence of a stationary queue for at least 30 seconds during any peak hour period. The camera was installed by staff to observe the traffic conditions and there were no occurrences of stationary queues for more than 30 seconds. Certainly, if you believe this to not be the case or you'd like to seek further clarification, I certainly encourage you to contact myself or the staff to discuss it further and happy to talk to you about that further. In regard to the bus stop, the Welcome Road intersection treatment, given that the ultimate treatment at Welcome Road is for a full closure as shown in the Diggers Rest Local Area Traffic Management Study, a new alignment for the bus route will be proposed and discussed with the Public Transport Victoria closer to the construction of the interim left-in, left-out treatment, so we'll know further about that at that time. Thank you.
The next question is also from Mr O'Connor, and it reads, the Melton Youth Strategy 2014 to 2017 identifies the needs of our growing community in terms of younger residents. With respect to younger residents living in Diggers Rest, in particular those attending secondary school, how does Council currently engage with this demographic and which objectives from the strategy are currently being implemented and to what capacity involve Diggers Rest youth? Mr Murray Heaney, General Manager, Community Services, to respond.
Thank you, Mr O'Connor, for your question. Just to give you a bit of insight, 2 weeks ago there was a barbecue held in Diggers Rest, which approximately 60 young people attended, I believe, from the officers, which was seen as a positive engagement process for council. There'll be a further engagement process with young people in Diggers Rest with another barbecue to be held on the 30th of April, I believe, around the hall and the reserve. And our youth services team will be present at that engagement again. We have also increased our capacity of engagement with local schools and we've engaged with most of the secondary schools in the township and one in Caroline Springs at the moment for strategies related to the youth strategy itself and highlighted outcomes. I'm happy to provide you further feedback in writing in relation to other initiatives that will be implemented.
I think he's got a follow-up.
I'll follow up, Mr. O'Connor.
Yep. Yep. It is something that will be looked at and it is highlighted, I think, in the strategy about engagement with schools. So, as I said, we've just strengthened that as from first term this year and we'll continue that further. So, we'll give you further feedback, David.
Next question is from Alan Fairweather, and Mr. Fairweather's in the gallery. Question reads, what rights do local law officers have that allows them to take photographs over a 6 foot high, 2 metre approximate gate without the homeowner's permission? Isn't this an invasion of privacy? And this will be responded to by Luke Shannon, General Manager, Corporate Services.
Thank you, Alan, for your question. Various acts provide for powers of entry, including but not limited to the Building Act, the Planning and Environment Act and the Public Health and Wellbeing Act. In addition, the Local Government Act provides a wider power which provides for an authorised officer to enter land or a building in the municipality at any reasonable time to carry out and enforce the Local Government Act or any other act or regulation or local law. Insofar as a breach of privacy is concerned, the Privacy and Data Protection Act would either apply here, either not apply here, sorry, or would be overridden by the above-mentioned legislation as it contains a provision which makes it clear that any other act which is inconsistent will override it. There is no common law right to privacy in Victoria. You might be aware that the Victorian Charter of Human Rights and Responsibilities Act of 2006 provides for a right to privacy. This means that a public body such as council must take into account a person's right to privacy before making a decision. This does not mean, however, that the decision will not be taken. Thank you.
The next question is also from Mr. Fairweather, and he asks, what is the maximum allowable size of a shed, also the height that you can have in the neighbourhood residential zone? This will be responded to by Peter Bean, General Manager Planning and Development.
Alan, within the neighbourhood residential zone, the construction of a shed does not require a planning permit as such. A shed or outbuilding used for domestic purposes, and I stipulate domestic purposes, is considered to be ancillary to a dwelling and does not require a permit. So from a planning perspective, council has no control of its size and height. This changes, however, if the shed is used as part of a resident's businesses or occupation, as it would constitute what's deemed as a store, which would require a planning permit. Where a permit is required, council has control over its size through its stores and outbuildings policy, which encourages the development of outbuildings that do not have a greater floor space or height that exceeds the existing residents on the location. In sort of complement to that, the building regulations do have require a building permit for a shed that has a footprint that exceeds 10 square metres. The regulations state that the maximum height for any dwelling, which a shed is classed as one, is 9 metres, but this will be conditional upon the setbacks to the side boundaries, and the size or footprint allowable will be contingent on the impervious surface coverage required for the allotment within a residential zone. Thank you.
The next question is from Michelle Mendez, and Michelle is in the gallery. First question from Michelle reads, can council please explain why no foresight has been used in regards to developing the proposed cemetery in Arnold's Creek to avoid the problem we now have with Melton Cemetery not having any plots left? This will be responded to by Luke Shannon, General Manager, Corporate Services.
Thank you, Michelle, for your question. Just by way of clarification, the provision of cemeteries across the state is actually a state government responsibility and not a council responsibility. In turn, and that specifically that's through the state government Department of Health. In turn, the Department of Health some time ago established the Greater Metropolitan Cemetery Trust, which provides for cemetery services not only in this region but across a wider part of Melbourne. You'll be aware that the state government does indeed own a significant site earmarked for a future cemetery north of the Arnold's Creek estate. That site is so large, in fact, that it fronts both Bullmans Road and Harkness Road, so it's a significant site. Council has for many years been in discussions with the Trust about their future plans for that site, and indeed we have a meeting with their senior representatives next week to seek to establish exactly what their plans are for the establishment of our cemetery at that site. Thank you.
The second question from Michelle is, what is Council's position on the duplication of the Melton Railway line, and would you support residents' petitions about this duplication? And this will be responded to by Peter Bean, General Manager, Planning and Development.
Thanks, Michelle. Look, the Melton Council plan and the Melton Advocacy Priorities confirms the duplication and ultimate electrification of the Ballarat rail line to Melton from Sunshine is one of its key priorities. Council is actively advocating to both federal and state governments to fund this important project. It certainly encourages residents to follow our Find Our Future campaign and complete the online petition that's located at www.fundourfuture.info. Thank you.
The next question is from Seamus Ryan, and Mr. Ryan is in the gallery. His first question reads, given that at least 5 sporting clubs with members in excess of 1,500 use the facilities at Brookside Recreation Reserve as part of formal arrangements with council and are therefore classified as occupiers of the location with a significant interest in the site, can you please explain the process council went through in arriving at a decision not to acknowledge these clubs as occupiers of the location and in turn did not notify these clubs who used this facility of the application by Vodafone for a permit to build a mobile phone tower last year? Surely council will agree that there was a serious breakdown in the notification process on this basis alone. Mr. Peter Bean to respond.
Thanks, Seamus. Look, the sporting clubs at that site hold licence agreements with council to use the land and as such are not considered occupiers in the same context that an occupier of a residential, commercial or industrial site would have. Whilst there are no specific legal requirements for the sporting clubs to be advised of the permit, council staff made a determination that on the basis that the EME report clearly demonstrated that electromagnetic energy levels were only 1.43% of the public exposure limit and that the use of the reserve by the members of the groups and organisations are for relatively limited periods during training and competition, it was determined not to include them in the direct mail app. The three on-site notices displayed along the road frontages of the reserve were clearly visible for all active and passive users of that reserve. Thank you.
The next question is second question from Mr. Ryan, and it reads, as a follow-up to our group meetings with Council on Tuesday of last week, residents against the mobile phone tower at Brookside Recreation Reserve, can Council please clarify the following issue? Council advised that they sent a notification to Brookside College in relation to Vodafone permit for a mobile phone tower at Brookside Recreation Reserve in June of last year. Council also advised that they only received the notification back as a return to sender after the two-week notification period had already elapsed. Therefore, Council advised it was too late to follow up. However, can Council advise the one, date of Brookside College was sent the notification, two, the date Council received this back, and three, the date Council approved the permit. Again, Mr. Peter Bean.
Seamus, as I have it recorded, as I understand, the notice and the cover letter was sent to Brooklyn Colleges dated 4th of June 2015. The notice and letter was received back to Council's return to sender on the 20th of August 2015. Council issued the planning permit on the 12th of August 2015. Thank you.
Next question is from Michelle Spatiri, who's in the gallery. Question reads, as a resident of Troops Road South in Mount Cottrell, I have notified Council numerous times of the unsafe and dangerous condition of the road. Currently, many heavy articulated vehicles are using this road to access the new developments in Tarneit and surrounding areas, rather than using Derrimut Road as a thoroughfare and consequently causing extreme dust clouds, rocks and blinding drivers coming from both directions. When will Council become proactive in monitoring and policing this increased traffic on this unsealed road to ensure that the safety of Troops Road South residents and ratepayers are ensured? And two, what measures will Council put in place to do this so that local residents can feel satisfied that their valid concerns are being justly met? Mr. Peter Bean will respond to those two elements.
Yeah, thanks for that question, Michelle. Look, Troops Road South is not a council-approved high mass or over-dimensional route, and as such, Council do not approve any applications for its use. Hopkins Roads is a much more suitable alternative. Enforcing of the unauthorised vehicles is conducted by Vic Roads and Victoria Police. Council has recently been made aware of the situation that you're raising and have reported the unauthorised access to the National Heavy Vehicle Regulator, who have already liaised with both Vic Roads and Victoria Police for further inquiries to be conducted. In regard to trying to control this or monitor this, Council continually raises this with the developers within the municipality in regard to their responsibilities to remind their transporters to use sealed roads, for example, Hopkins Road rather than the unsealed Troops Road South. We'll certainly continue to do so, not only on your behalf, but all residents. Thank you.
The next question is from Andreas Antonio, and Mr. Antonio is in the gallery. Question reads, the MPA has produced a paper to stop inappropriate development in the Green Wedge, and past and present governments call GWZ, Green Wedge Zone, the lungs of Melbourne, and discourage any subdivision in this zoning. Why is the Melton Council contravening these laws and allowing Green Wedge subdivision applications to go through, but disallowing appropriate subdivision in the UGZ, Urban Growth Zone? Again, Mr. Peter Bean to respond.
Thanks for the question, Andrew. Just in response to that, Council is not contravening any laws by approving some permits for subdivision within the Green Wedge Zone of the state. A schedule to the Green Wedge Zoning Council's planning scheme enables Council to consider a proposal for subdivision based on what is known as the N equals A over 20 formula. In considering these planning applications, Council takes into account the relevant state and local planning policies, decision guidelines of the zone, and whether the lots will have access to a sealed road and reticulated water. Thank you.
And the last question this evening is from Ms. Andrula Tuvana, and Ms. Tuvana is in the gallery. Question reads, how has Council determined that the T intersection at the Mount Cottrell Road / Beattie's Road / Western Highway will operate in reverse to normal T intersection road rules, making it unsafe for road users who know the road rules as they stand? Again, Mr. Bean.
Thank you for that. Look, the decision to arrange the intersection with the priority for vehicles coming off the Western Highway was to allow enough room for a truck to enter the intersection without actually blocking the Western Highway. The majority of movements are into and out of the Western Highway rather than straight through from Beattie's Road to Mount Cottrell Road. As such, this was deemed to be a far safer arrangement for all vehicles. Thank you. Look, I certainly don't have that statement here, but I'll provide that in my written response to you.
That concludes public questions this evening, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. And just a reminder to our members of the gallery who may be new, you can actually get an audio copy of this tonight's meeting on Council's website, and it usually takes a couple of days. Certainly, if it's not on the website for any reason, you can contact Council. We can actually give you a hard copy version just to let people know. Okay, councillors, let's turn our attention to item number 11, presentation of staff reports. And we have 11 points.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move in block the recommendations for agenda items 11.1, 11.2, 11.3 and 11.4 as put.
Thank you. I have a motion moved by Councillor Quagliari. Does any councillor require further clarification in regards to this? Do I have a councillor to second?
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Moving along to agenda number 11.5, Council Annual Action Plan, second quarter, 1st of October, 31st of December. 1st of October to the 31st of December 2015 progress report, and this will be presented by Mr. Maury Heaney, General Manager for Community Services. Thank you, Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report obviously is to provide the second quarter update on our council plan actions to date. The 2013-17 Mountain City Council Plan is prepared in accordance with the Local Government Act 1989. The plan is reviewed on an annual basis to adapt to the evolving needs of our growing community. Each year, Council produces an annual action plan identifying the activities and also the initiatives that Council will work towards in achieving, of course, which will respond to the strategic outcomes and strategies identified in the Council plan. This is aligned with Council's annual budget development process. The progressive achievement of the annual action plan is reported at the conclusion of each quarter of the financial year, with a financial summary provided at the conclusion of each financial year through the production of Council's annual report. Council, some of the actions highlighted, I suppose, to date in the second quarter is the Housing Character Study and Design Guidelines, referred on page 111 in the agenda, the Library Collection Strategy for the term 2015-18, the Library Outreach Strategy, of course the General Local Law, completion and construction of the major facility at Burnside, and that is the Early Years Facility, the Incentive Based by Local Program, and of course Council Star Awards and the presentation of recognising our staff for excellence, and development of partnerships to coordinate an illicit drugs forum with our sporting clubs. Madam Mayor and Councillors, attached to the report is an appendix that gives you all of the actions. There are some 147, and the table on page 111 gives you a very quick breakdown about the actions that have been achieved, on track, two behind schedule to date, and if there are any postponed, and that is new at the moment. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Councillor Turner.
Mr. Heaney, can you tell us the coup behind schedule? Can you recap on the reasons for them, please?
I will, Councillor Turner, and it relates to page 124 on the attached document, is one. Which is the service unit workforce plans. Now, if you do have a look at the target date, in saying this, we still have a target date to June 2016, but we believe we're somewhat behind schedule, but on paper we've still got that time to deliver it. And the other one relates to Federation Uni starting up programs in our Melton Library Learning Hub, and we're still having conversations with them, so that is somewhat out of our hands, but we're still advocating for those other two. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Does any other councillor have any further clarification? Councillor Ramsay.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is somewhat left of centre, but I have been asked by residents. It's not in the second quarter development, but the staff accommodation expansion of the community centre, they wanted to know where those dollars were, and because it was on last year's.
Councils?
Yeah.
Do you want me to answer that one?
Through you, Madam Mayor, I'd respond to Councillor Ramsay's question. The monies are held in reserve by Council at this point in time, and the stage of that project is that we have commissioned an independent review by a company that specialises in this, that have undertaken similar exercises for a number of councils. And they are conducting a evaluation of five options that have been put forward.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move this item?
I am, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. 11.6, election period policy, presented by Mr. Luke Shannon, General Manager for Corporate Services. Thank you, Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The Local Government Amendment Improved Governance Act of 2015 introduced a raft of changes to the Local Government Act, primarily to improve accountability, strengthen council governance, and to support the integrity and efficient conduct of the upcoming 2016 elections. Electoral reforms included a number of changes, including making the VEC the statutory provider for all council elections, removing the requirement for an exhibition voter's roll, preventing a person who is banned from being a company director from being a candidate at an election or continuing to be a councillor, enabling a returning officer to remove a candidate found to be disqualified from the ballot paper, and finally requiring all councils to have an election period or a caretaker policy, clarifying limitations on publication of council documents, including the election period. The Act now requires that council prepare, adopt and maintain an election period policy, and to adopt such policy by the 31st of March 2016. Specifically, Madam Mayor, the election period policy must include, must focus on a number of areas, including procedures intended to prevent council from making inappropriate decisions or using resources inappropriately during the election period before a general election, limits on public consultation and the scheduling of council events, procedures to ensure that access to information held by council is made equally available and accessible to candidates during the election process. Madam Mayor, if I can refer councillors to Appendix Number 1, you'll find a draft election period policy, which has been prepared to comply with the changes to the Act that I've referred to, and provide support and guidance to councillors, council staff and the public on council's processes and procedures during the election period. Accordingly, Madam Mayor, if I can commend to council the draft election period policy and recommend that it be adopted. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move this notice of motion?
I'll move it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item 11.7, Council submission to the Managing Residential Development Advisory Committee, and this will be presented by Ms. Laura Jo Mellon, Manager for City Design, Strategy and Environment. Thank you, Ms. Mellon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is to consider Melton City Council's submission to Managing Residential Development Advisory Committee, which is a state government committee that has been appointed to review the implementation and application of the new residential zones in Melbourne. The new residential zones were only introduced to the Victorian planning schemes in July of 2013 after extensive consultation by the state government of the time. These residential zones comprise of the residential growth zone, the general residential zone and the neighbourhood residential zone, which in combination enable councils to better direct the location and scale of residential change in the municipality. Councils were given a period of 12 months from July 2013 to July 2014 to implement the new residential zones into their planning scheme. And Melton City Council undertook a significant amount of work to prepare the Melton Housing Diversity Strategy, which was adopted at the Ordinary Council meeting of the 27th of May 2014. And following this adoption, we commenced the Planning Scheme Amendment C157, which saw the new zones implemented into the Melton Planning Scheme on the 24th of July 2014, as recommended by the strategy. Excuse me. In November 2015, the Minister for Planning appointed the Managing Residential Development Advisory Committee to review the implementation and application of these residential zones across Victoria. To assist with this, they also appointed a task force from the Department of Environment, Land, Water and Planning, which is the state government's planning agency. And on the 29th of January, the Task Force and Advisory Committee released the State of Play report, which included specific recommendations and reports providing an overview on the zoning of housing and application of the new residential zones in Melbourne and across Victoria's major cities. Excuse me. The Advisory Committee has now made a call for submissions, which are due on the 14th of March 2016. Council officers have reviewed the State of Play reports and the operation of the new residential zones within the City of Melton to prepare the submission to the Task Force and Advisory Committee. And Appendix 1 to this report provides a detailed submission to the State of Play report, and page 161 of this Council report provides an overview of the submissions and summary. In addition to the recommendations of our submission, it should also be noted that Melton City Council allocated financial and staff resources to the preparation of the adopted housing diversity strategy to provide the required strategic justification to implement the new zones. And as discussed in the report, this was a requirement by the Minister for Planning at the time to have them in the schemes by July 2014. Any changes which may come as a result of this review will potentially require Council to commit additional resources to update an adopted housing diversity strategy and a planning scheme that is less than 18 months old and was the basis of a review at that time by State Government. It is therefore recommended by this report that Council endorse the submission contained in Appendix 1 and submit it to the Managing Residential Development Advisory Committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mellon. Councillors, does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Laura Jo, in this we've got a lot of disagreements with what's been proposed. So what's the outcome of this at this stage? It goes back to the committee now, and do we get another report back from it, or is it just that's our position? Is that accepted?
Through you, Madam Mayor. Our understanding is they will consider the submissions and there will potentially be a hearing-style format, whether that's a formal panel hearing or an advisory committee meeting, to consider the responses and give people the opportunity to present their case. But at this time, they've not provided any clear direction on how that will look.
Councillors, any other further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move this agenda item report?
Madam Mayor, I'll move the recommendation as put.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Agenda item 11.8, Environmental Enhancement Program, or EEP, 2015 Compliance Report, also presented by Ms. Laura Jo Mellon, Manager, City Design, Strategy and Environment. Thank you, Ms. Mellon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is to advise Council of the results of the 2015 Environmental Enhancement Programme. Melton City Council's Environmental Enhancement Programme encourages eligible landowners to undertake specific land management works on their property to improve the condition of our natural environment within the municipality. The EEP has been in effect since 1994 and provides a rebate on municipal rates. The programme applies to properties within specified zones in the municipality that are greater than 2 hectares in size, and it is operated on an opt-out basis. This means that eligible landowners must inform Council of the land management works that they propose to undertake and then demonstrate that they have undertaken any agreed and approved works on their property. In early 2015, the Environmental Enhancement Programme guidelines and proposed work forms were sent to all eligible landowners, which is a total of 1,266 properties, and copies of these documents are provided as an appendix for your information. To participate, the landowners must then complete and return the proposed works form, identifying what eligible land management works they propose to undertake, specifically focusing on weed management. These proposed works forms are then assessed and approved by Council's land management officers and written approval sent to the landowners. The landowners are then required to undertake any agreed works on their property by the 30th of September 2015 in order to retain the rebate. During this time, on-site meetings with the landowners and inspections of the properties by Council's land management officers occurred, and landowners who successfully undertook the agreed works were notified of their satisfactory compliance with the policy and subsequent retention of the rebate. The overall compliance rate for 2015 was 93%, which equates to a total of 1,176 of the 1,266 properties complying with the proposed works, with a total of 90 properties, or 7%, considered to be non-compliant for reasons detailed in Appendix 3 to this report that's got a table of the 90 properties and the non-compliance issues. Those landowners who did not undertake or complete the agreed works will be advised of their non-compliance in writing, including any advice that they may appeal the decision, and they will also be issued with a supplementary rates notice. It is therefore recommended that Council note the completion of the 2015 Environmental Enhancement Programme with the 93% of eligible landowners complying with the requirements of the programme and the withdrawal of the rebate for the remaining 7% of the landowners in accordance with the Environmental Enhancement Programme, and also that they note that we will inform the Department of Economic Development, Jobs, Transport and Resources of the results of this year's programme. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mellon. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this report? Do I have a councillor to move this report?
I'd like to move that. Thank you, Madam Mayor, and also applaud the success of this program with the 93% uptake.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have a councillor to second the report?
I'll be just seconding, Madam Mayor, and in doing so say that it's, although there was 90 properties didn't comply, it was great to see that 1,266 did. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Does any councillor oppose the motion or the report? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the report and the notice of motion carried. Moving on to item number 12, reports from delegates appointed to other bodies. I'll start off with Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. A bit light on, actually. I attended on the 24th of February, Road to Zero, along with my fellow councillor, Councillor Ramsey. And on the 2nd of March, I filled in for Councillor Turner to the SERA annual review, which is where we discuss emergency procedures and treatments. There's a lot of detail and work that goes into this, and every municipality actually undergoes this. The outcome that came out of this drawing up was that our greatest emergencies that we will probably anticipate in this area is most likely from grass fire, bushfire from the Tulin Hills, and they have actually worked out that with the fire, if there's a fire in the Tulin Hills, that it's a don't stay and fight, just get out, because they really don't have the resources to be able to get in there and help people fight. And also for any accidents along the major highway that we actually have. So, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Councillor Cugliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I did attend the Reconciliation Advisory Committee. We welcomed our new Aboriginal community representative, Mr. Phil Wood. We had a presentation from Damien O'Keefe, the project officer from Reconciliation Victoria, who gave us an update of a website called Magalee for local government. Magalee is the language of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and it's spelled M-A-G-G-O-L-E, if you want to go on their website. And it means here in this place. Magalee celebrates good practice in Victorian local government, Aboriginal engagement and reconciliation, and aims to bring Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, local communities and the councils that serve them together. The website Magalee includes information on policy and programs, protocols, cultural awareness, key contacts, relevant local data news and events in the 79 Victorian Council. And also on that day, we also discussed the Reconciliation Action Plan. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. To those regulars in the gallery, I actually have something to report this month after almost 12 months. I attended the audit committee on the 24th of February. Unfortunately, sitting around Madam Mayor with a bunch of accountants was quite dry, to say the least. But it's good to see that the finances and other matters of the council are running smoothly, and we are ensuring that we have the correct policies in place. So it's just everything went well, Madam Mayor. Nothing to report, which is always a good thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. I'd like to also stand and discuss the couple of committees I attended, which one of them was the Western Region Mayors Forum. It was actually hosted by Melton City Council, so it was a great opportunity to meet the new mayors of this term, and mayors from Wyndham, Maribyrnong and Moonee Valley joined me in discussions regarding contaminated land clean-up costs for some of the councils. Lead West, we also spoke about Vic Roads and the reserves and rubbish of Vic Roads roads, transport issues in the West and rate capping. And the next Mayor's Forum will be hosted in Wyndham City Council. I also attended the Western-based board meeting, and we had a presentation on the Western-based co-working program, as well as discussions on a potential grant from the Department of Employment that the Western Base has been working on, and it was called Empowering Youth Initiatives Round 1 Funding. It is a Youth Spark program in partnership with Info Exchange, and this initiative is to help address employment barriers and provide young people with the help they need to improve their employment prospects. And I am happy to say that most recently the Western Base have been informed of their success in obtaining the funding to begin this program in the next few months. And I congratulate the CEO, Mark Corey, for his applying of the grant and him being successful. This is a great outcome for our younger residents who will benefit from improving their employment prospects within our municipality. Councillor Ramsay, committee meetings.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I chaired PDAC, which Councillor Dunn has mentioned, and I think, well, I know everything's going really well at the moment. We're talking about, we're talking closely to Harness Racing about the block out the front and also the hole in the ground, but that's a different firm. And Atherston seems to be going from strength to strength, being second to Woodley in the development stakes at the moment. Roads to Zero I also chaired, and Road Safety Westgate, and there are a couple of stats I just want to highlight. It's only a month but a month without fatalities on the road is a really good thing. There's only one fatality in the western region, and that was from Wyndham. But in our serious injuries, they're up from last year. They're at six at the moment, and they could be quite serious, and they could almost be a condition that people have to live with the rest of their lives. In the police section, Melton has had 10 impounds so far this year. Two driving whilst disqualified, 3 unlicensed, 2 for improper use, 2 for drink driving above 0.1, and 1 for exceeding the speed limit by 70 k's or more. They were 10 male drivers, not that I'm anti-men, 3 probational licences, 6 full licence holders and 1 learner, but only 5 out of those 10 resided in the city of Melton. I also did the Community Learning Board, Madam Mayor, and the Community Learning Board teamed up with the Disability Advisory Committee and hosted the Parent Forum, which I'll discuss in the next round of talks. And we also met with Belgravia, who have won the tender to look after the waves for the next 5 years. And so the Waves Reference Committee was also held. That's it for me, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Councillor Carley.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, on the 18th of February, I attended the Early Learning Years Committee. Natalie Barkai was elected as chair her second year. She's from the principal from Corroy Primary School. We discussed the kindergarten central enrolment policy, assessment for learning update. We also spoke about the capacity to meet the needs of our cold families and children, the role of a bilingual workers in our municipality, and Caroline Chisholm service planning consultation. And on the 24th of February, I attended my first audit committee meeting with Councillor Bentley, and the minutes of that meeting are in this evening's agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Excuse me. This month's been a few committee meetings. A couple of them are already in the agenda, so I won't go into any detail on them. The Cold Act Committee and also the Arts and Culture Committee. They're included in the agenda. That was on the 10th and the 16th of February. On the 17th of February, I attended the Municipal Emergency Management Planning Committee, which was a desk exercise. If anybody needs any information about any of these committees, please ask me after the meeting. I'm happy to go through it. Also, on the 17th, attended along with other councillors a VIP event at the base for businesses in our community. On the 18th, I represent council for the VLGA Awards, which was the Sustainability Awards. And unfortunately, Madam Mayor, I thought I would have something to present to you tonight, but I can't see it here. We did win the award for the night, which was for our Leeds programme. Leeds programme, which is really going massively in great guns. Last year, I think we had some like 50 or 60 people took part in the Leeds programme. And what it's about is teaching people how to use electricity, how to read the power, this sort of thing for sustainability. This year, we had, I think, 250 or 300 received awards. Yourself, I can't remember you were there. I think you were busy on a budget day. Myself and
yes,
Councillor Bentley were there on the day, and it was a fantastic morning. I must admit I was late for personal reasons, but Councillor Bentley started off the proceedings and we had a really good morning with everybody. I think it was about 250 people got awards on the day, and it was a great morning. The Blue Ribbon Foundation fundraiser at Tabcorp Park, supporting all our police. Also, I'll just go through a few of them quickly. I'd had a cancelled meeting. We didn't have a quorum for the LAC meeting. And the Hope Street Metal Advisory Committee, I attended that, which is looking at trying to fund youth housing in Melton. I'll leave it at that, Madam Mayor. If anybody else has any questions, I've got other committees I can talk about.
Thank you, Councillor Turner.
Councillors, moving on to agenda number 13, Councillor Representations and Acknowledgements. 13.1, public address by each councillor. Councillor Turner, I think some of those were probably committees and events as well. Did you want to finish off the rest of the events that you attended?
Yeah, just as well. I get mixed up sometimes.
That's all right. That's fine, Councillor Turner.
Okay, I'll just go through some of the events. And I'm sorry for mixing them up and crossing them over. AJ's Family Day was a fantastic day in Melton. They raised this year, I think it was something in the region of $26,000.
Sorry, Councillor Turner, I believe this is the award that we received.
It looks like the award. Can I talk about that now? Yeah. 2016 Climate Award winner, Melton City Council, for their Leeds project.
Fantastic.
I'll give it to you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Well done.
I thought we must have dropped it and broken it.
And I believe it's all recycled.
Yeah, I thought maybe we'd broken it. That's why it wouldn't have been shot. Okay. Anyway, I attended the Combat City of Melton Business and Talk Breakfast. It's a new thing that started in Melton. It's doing one at Westwaters and the next one alternately with at the base. So that was an interesting one. There wasn't many there the first morning, but I'm sure it'll pick up. It'll be a good bit. Just a relaxed sort of thing to get around, have breakfast. Everybody pays for their own, and you just have a chat about things that are happening in the town, which is good. The LG Pro Awards, representing yourself, Madam Mayor, at the Melbourne Exhibition and Conference Centre. Unfortunately, we're up against a movie. It was a base project, pretty dry, up against a movie that was about dogs and rabbits. Oh, a dog and some rabbits.
Penguins.
So, penguins, was it?
Yeah.
They look like rabbits to me, Madam Mayor. we don't have many penguins in Scotland, sorry. I'll be quick. I'll go through a couple of other things. I attended the Melton Sentinel Football Team of the Era night on Friday night on behalf of yourself, and there was a great talk there by Terry Danaher. That was a good night. Look, I've said enough. I'll leave it at that, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Carley.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, on the 13th of February, I attended the Somersault Festival, and may I say it gets bigger and better every year. Well done to all those who were involved. On the 27th of February, I attended the councillor budget session with all my fellow councillors. The 3rd of March, I attended the Women in Business Luncheon. And I can't remember who the guest speaker was. I think it was Kieran.
Kieran Flanagan.
That's the one. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Also on the 3rd of March in the evening, I attended the Zonta International Women's Day 2016 celebration dinner with Jackie Cooper as our guest speaker. And Madam Mayor, I just take this opportunity to remind the members of the gallery that on the 19th of March, we will be having the community safety event, Walk With Her, being held on Saturday the 19th of March around Caroline Springs Lake. And also the same day there will be a Harmony Day event between 10 and 11 at the Caroline Springs Library and Civic Centre. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Ramsey.
Hello. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I don't want to steal your thunder, but I want to commend you in particular for the business launch at the Western Base. I thought that was a great initiative, and it was for the larger businesses of Melton to come together to basically exchange ideas, mentor, and it's something that hasn't happened. We've tried a Chamber of Commerce, but that hasn't gone from strength to strength, and that was a great initiative on your part there. Secondly, I want to also acknowledge what a fantastic night Somersault was. The acts were fantastic, but the best act of the night was when our fellow councillor got on stage for the last song. Now, is it Say Yes, Geronimo? Say Geronimo. Okay, I can't even know the song, but apparently whilst the act was recuperating before they had a busy schedule to get on stage, Miles' partner told him what a fantastic dancer he was, or what a nerdy dancer he was. But he got to show his prowess on the stage, and to everybody's amusement and to everybody's excitement, he was so active,
he kept the whole of... Too bad it wasn't in Melton, because you probably would have won the election on that. It was fantastic, and thank you for doing that on behalf of the City of Melton, because that took guts, and you did it absolutely brilliantly. On a more serious note now, I couldn't make the early years learning or partnership because I launched the Parents Forum called Unpacking Career Options for Young Adults on the Autism Spectrum. It was one of the first times I've spoken to a group of disabled parents since my disabled daughter passed away, and there were about 150 people there. Autism Angels was represented, Busy Feet was represented, Merrimew was represented, Youth Now was represented, and feedback I've heard from some of the parents was that the young adults couldn't wait for them to come home with all the information the parents had gained during the course of that forum day, so they could actually get assisted in looking for pathways that would get them into careers. So to both the Disability Advisory Committee and also the Community Learning Board, it was a partnership. It was very well executed and very well done. AJ's Family Fundraiser, I think my fellow councillor has touched on that, but they raised, and I still believe they're counting, $23,371, and Michelle Mendez is in the audience and she's one of the committee members there, and I just want to commend all of AJ's for what a fantastic night or day that is. I attended the cheque presentations, council budget days, the Zonta International Women's Day. Jackie Cooper's an absolute star. Absolute star. She could hold an audience captive for a lot more than 40 minutes. And the Women in Business Luncheon, and Karen, equally a star. So that was it for me, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. There's a few of those that I cross over with my fellow councillors, but on February the 9th, I attended the EcoLink opening of Footprints of the Western Volcanic Plains, and this is based in Bacchus Marsh, and if anyone's ever seen our beautiful panorama of the Western Plains, I'm sure it tours around and you can see it somewhere. On the 19th of February, I attended the Blue Ribbon Foundation fundraiser held out at Tabcorp, and that was a fantastic night run by, or I won't drop names, but it was as a fundraiser for our local police. On the 29th, I attended the Tourism Fest in the West out at Ainsbury, and there was over 80 attendees. It was my first time that I've attended this, and it's the third time that they've actually run it, first time that we've actually had it out here in our own backyard. It was actually a fantastic afternoon and day. It's designed to raise the profile of Melbourne's West, and the goals are advocacy, visitor experience, industry development and communications engagement, just to try and put West on the map, that instead of travelling over to Bali for a week, you can spend just as much time travelling around in their West, and it extends as far as the Grampians. There was also a jazz trio that played on the lawn. I didn't hang around for that because I had other things to do, but just wanted to highlight that Jazz in the Park is playing in Hannah Watts on the 3rd of April between 1 to 3, and it's a free event that's been held. Apparently the band is fantastic. They're from New Orleans, or they play New Orleans blues, so I definitely will be parking there on a picnic rug. And I also attended the Women in Business Lunch, Zonta, and the Grants Night with HRV. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Councillor Quagliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the people who cleaned up Australia. Many thousands of adults and children participated in the Clean Up Australia last week. Since the event started in 1990, Australians have donated more than 31.5 million hours towards the caring for our environment through Clean Up Australia activities. Congratulations, and once again, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Quagliari. Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And I'd like to say thank you to Councillor Ramsay for such a great description of what otherwise would have been a quite appalling dancing, I would say. And I'm amazed there seems to be some footage of it, and I'm amazed it hasn't ended up on YouTube. And while I'm on YouTube, I was lucky enough to come across earlier this month a link to a YouTube video titled Melton 1975. It was a collection of early cinematography. Somebody must have got their hands on a camera in those days and took some number of still pictures of the city, as I can only assume was in 1975. And there's a number of different, and I encourage everyone to get out there on the internet, have a look at it, and see how our wonderful city has changed. I'm sure many of you have seen it change over the years, but if you want the reminder, go and have a look. And talking about change, I haven't fortunately been in the city back then, but there was a couple of, the High Street Bridge there, which was just a bridge in a paddock, and now it's changing, it's developing, you've got the Vic Roads going on there. The police station, luckily it said police station because I wouldn't have recognised it because I'm sure that's been knocked down by now and put a new one in its place or somewhere else. The regional shopping centre. As a kid I remember that, but it was even smaller than that. Nowadays it's huge with Woodgrove. And some things for the worse, that there was the picture of the hospital building growing, and unfortunately we might have gone backwards with that one. But what I found appalling was the train station. Because you see this picture of the train station in 1975, and it looks exactly the same. The only difference that I saw was it was a different colour. It got a paint job. Admittedly, there was a few changes. There has been a second platform ended, platform one had been extended, and there's been some refurb inside. But it's still the single rail that it was in 1975. It still looks like the same rail it was in 1975. And I'll just say it's about, given that the train station was in the middle of a paddock, and if you look at it now, there's just development everywhere around it. And it's about time that the state government committed some funding and got into this, what is greatly needed public infrastructure. So, after I've got off my high horse, it's great to see, as my fellow councillor recognised yesterday, was Clean Up Australia Day. It was great to see. I got to three different locations, and it was great to see so many people out there picking up rubbish. The good news was there was actually less rubbish than I've seen in the last few years, so it's good that the message is getting through, that it's not just one day of the year, it's every day of the year. But it's great to see, as I said, so many adults and so many kids getting there, doing their bit. And I encourage all not just to do it on the 6th of March, but to do it every day of the year. So thank you, Madam Mayor. That's all.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. I'd like to just highlight some of the events that I attended. Most of the events I attended other councillors had mentioned, but I do have to make a special mention of Caroline Springs Somersault Festival, and as it was already mentioned, it was a fantastic event held by Melton City Council and sponsored in partnership with Woodley Estate in Brockbank, and crowds were at their record numbers with headline act Shepherd. And I'd like to thank all the council staff and residents for their support with this event, and I'm certainly looking forward to next year. I also met with local MP Don Nardella, member for Melton, together with Tennille Bradley and Michael Tudbull from Council's Economic Development Team regarding the Fund Our Future campaign, particularly, as Councillor Bentley has mentioned, the train service, as well as other matters concerning Melton's municipality. And I'd like to thank Don for his time and his commitment to advocating for Melton and its residents. And I also attended the start of the construction for 5 Mackenzie Street, an important development for Council's aged care service, and I'd like to acknowledge the $1.8 million grant by the State Government's Interface Growth Council Fund, and also I'd like to thank the Minister for Local Government, the Honourable Natalie Hutchins, for her support in this very important project. The main focus for this month was International Women's Day, and I had the honour of attending a few events, including the Women's Seniors Macedonian event in Bantry Grove, and let me tell you, they know how to dance. Much to their surprise, I don't know how to dance, but I gave it a try anyway. I also attended the Women in Business event, as with other councillors, and also the Zonta Club. And these events were an opportunity to celebrate with women in our community and other women around the world
the achievements of women in the economic, political, cultural and social spheres. The theme for this year's International Women's Day was Pledge for Parity or Pledge for Equality, and it's a great opportunity to see how far we have come in gender equality, but it's also a time to reflect how much we still have to obtain this goal. I attended many more events, I'm just looking at the time, and upcoming events, Harmony Day, as Councillor Carley mentioned, we also have a visit from the King of Sweden as the Honorary Chairman of World Scout Foundation, hosted by Caroline Springs Scouts Group, which will be quite exciting. We have Walk With Her event, which Councillor Carley has also mentioned. It's an event preventing violence against women, and it's the event around Caroline Springs, nice and early, 8:30 in the morning, I believe. And, of course, Easter is coming up this month and school holidays. Please keep safe on the roads if you're planning on travelling. Thank you, councillors. Okay, we have item 13.2, Record of Assembly of Councillors in accordance with Section 80A/1 of the Local Government Act 1989, and we have a recommendation before us. Councillors, who would like to move?
Just a point of clarification, Madam Mayor. If I wasn't there for one or two of them, can I move it or not?
I believe you can, Councillor Ramsey.
Okay, then I will like to move that the Record of Assembly of Councillors dated the 4th, the 6th, the 15th, the 22nd, the 27th and the 29th of February 2016 attached to the agenda be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a councillor who will second this recommendation?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cagliari. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Agenda item 14, notices of motion. 14.1, notice of motion 415, Councillor Ramsey. Thank you, Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The motion reads that council officers write to QIC and the owners of Melton Bunnings requesting the urgent repair and modification of the eastern access driveway into Bunnings from Barry's Road. In its current condition, the access is a safety hazard to motorists.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this notice of motion? Do I have a councillor to second the notice of motion?
I'm pleased to second this notice of motion, Madam Mayor. It is a danger at that one end especially, and I commend Councillor Ramsey on bringing it up. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. I have notice of motion moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Turner. Does any councillor oppose the notice of motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the notice of motion carried. Notice of motion 14.2. Sorry, item 14.2, notice of motion 416, Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The motion reads that council write to Catherine Rudkins, the Chief Inspector of Melton Police, and Mark Guthrie, Acting Senior Sergeant, for their diligence and professionalism during the day, the public rally last year, making Melton communities safety paramount during the course of the day.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this notice of motion? Do I have a councillor to second the notice of motion? Councillors?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have any councillor who opposes the notice of motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the notice of motion carried. Item 14.3, notice of motion 417, Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that a report be prepared and presented at the next ordinary meeting of Council regarding the viability, cost and ability of Council to provide a free drop-off service of recyclable materials, in particular paper and cardboard, at the Melton Recycling Facility.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Do I have a seconder for this notice of motion?
Okay, Madam Mayor, I'd like to ask Councillor Bentley if I can make a small alteration to it to specifically include bottles and cans. And the reason for that is...
Sorry, balls?
Bottles. Bottles and cans.
Bottles and
Did
cans.
Did you get it that time, yes. Madam Mayor?
Sorry, Councillor.
That's quite all right. I'm used to it by now. for a specific reason, we don't have scavenger rights for paper, so there will be a bit of negotiation that has to go into that at this stage. But we do have scavenger rights for bottles and cans, so that side of it's easy. The other side's a bit discussions. So I just ask Councillor Bentley if he doesn't mind adding that in.
No, I'm more than happy to amend the motion to read the last line of that. I'll read in, so it'll be in particular paper, cardboard, bottles and cans at the Melton Recycling Facility.
Councillor Turner, are you happy with that amendment? Are you seconding it with that amendment?
Yes, I'll second it. Thank you.
Councillors, do I have any questions in regards to the amendment? Moved by Councillor Bentley, seconded by Councillor Turner with the amendment. Does any councillor oppose the notice of motion with the amendment? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the notice of motion with the amendment carried. Item 14.4, notice of motion 418, Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that Council write to the Honourable Daniel Andrews MP, Premier of Victoria, and the Honourable Jacinta Allen MP, Minister for Transport, seeking clarification on the Victorian Government's position in improving public transport, having committed $4.4 billion to the Metro Rail Project and its ongoing advocacy to the Prime Minister, the Honourable Malcolm Turnbull MP, and the Federal Government for better public transport in Victoria. When will the Victorian Government commit to the immediate required duplication of the Melton Rail line and the upgrade to the service to and to the standard of a metropolitan rail service?
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Do I have any councillor who requires any further clarification in regards to this notice of motion? Do I have a councillor to second this notice of motion?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'd like to commend Councillor Bentley on this. It's a follow-up to last year when we did write to Jacinta Allen and a few other. The motion last year was write to the Minister of Transport. We did not include the Premier, so that's a really good step. And there's been a bit of work done on it in the last 12 months with Council pushing it, but it's always good to bring it back up to the fore. I'd maybe like to ask Councillor Bentley if he would like to add on that we write to Don Ardella, Marlene Cruz in the Legislative Council like we did last time, just to remind them and put Councillor Bentley's motion in front of them as well. I think the more spread we get from councillors and also really from our community, if our community needs to fight this, we can do our best, but we really need the community behind us. And once again, I commend Councillor Bentley for bringing this back to the fore. Thanks,
Mark. No, thank you, Councillor Turner. I agree, and if we could add those members to my motion, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. I have a notice of motion here moved by Councillor Bentley, amended by Councillor Turner. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to the amendment made by to this notice of motion? If not, is there any councillor who opposes the amended notice of motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the notice of motion with the amendment moved. Carried, just had a mental block there. Item number 14.5, notice of motion 419, Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll be very quick. The motion is that Council consider funding the installation of public lighting at the intersection of Melton Gisborne Road and Mins Road.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. And I do note that it is a slight amendment to commits. Is that correct? Just making
correct.
That known. Councillors, do I have any councillor who requires any further clarification in regards to this notice of motion? Do I have a councillor? Councillor Ramsey? Clarification?
No. Can I second it?
Councillor Ramsey seconds the notice of motion. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the notice of motion carried. 14.6, notice of motion 420, Councillor Turner.
Yes, Madam Mayor, another roads one. The council write to Mr Brian Sherritt of Vic Roads asking him to address the traffic congestion and safety at the intersection of Norton Drive and High Street. This has been done before, probably 12 months or more ago. It was raised with me by the Melton Residents Association when I was at the meeting the other week. So I just thought I'd bring it back up again if we can maybe shake another cage, please. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have any councillor who requires any clarification in regards to this notice of motion? Do I have a councillor to second this notice of motion?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to second this motion and again commend Councillor Turner on this motion because it is a problem and it is a traffic hazard.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Does any councillor oppose this notice of motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the notice of motion carried. 14.7, notice of motion 421, Councillor Turner.
This is getting me fit tonight, Madam Mayor. I move that Council write to Brian Sherritt again of Vic Roads and ask them to address the traffic congestion and safety at the intersection of Reserve Road and High Street. That's one in Melton that's actually becoming used a great deal, and it's a big problem getting out there at any busy time. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Do I have a councillor to second?
I'll second this one, Madam Mayor. We've all been jumping up like bobcats trying to second everything that's to do with duplications and roads, but I'd like to second this.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose the notice of motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the notice of motion carried. Item number 15, councillors' questions without notice. Councillors, any questions without notice? Councillor Dunn.
Actually, Madam Mayor, I just thought if we could have an update with Westwood Drive again, please.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn.
Mr. Shannon might be best placed to respond, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll do my best. Councillors might recall that Vic Roads were required to undertake an environmental effect statement for the length of the Westwood Drive project from the Western Highway through to the Calder Freeway. That environmental effect statement has now been completed, and there are recommendations included within that, which Vic Roads are currently reviewing. We're hopeful as a result of that process that there will be a conclusion and an approval by the Planning Minister later this year. And if that is indeed the case, then Council will be in a position where it can construct or seek to fund the construction of the first bridge over the Corroy Creek at Burnside. Ultimately, Vic Roads, through the State Government, will duplicate the road in the fullness of time, but clearly the first bridge and carriageway connecting the two missing links is the key part, so hopefully later this year we'll be in a better position to know exactly the position on that matter. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Councillors, any other further questions without notice? Item number 16, motions without notice. Councillor Ramsey.
Madam Mayor, this is going to be done on the hop because it's in here and not written down, but I'll write it down as soon as I can. I apologise to everybody concerned. But what came to me was that one of the police sergeants, I believe, Joe, our community liaison police sergeant, she called an urgent meeting of all the school principals, read the hoax phone calls that have been coming in for the threats, whether they be bomb or whatever, and they've worked out a way forward in how to combat that, and it was proactive. It was on the front.
Councillor Ramsey, is there a motion without notice?
And I'd like to write and commend Joe, once I think of her surname, and the Melton Police for taking that proactive approach and working closely with the principals of the schools to make sure that our children are safe at all times.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Any other councillors, any other motions without notice? Item number 17, urgent business. Is there any urgent business? Item number 18, confidential business. I have a procedural motion here. Councillor Cugliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. That pursuant to Section 89(2) of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated. 8.1, Municipal Audit Committee meetings on the 24th of February 2016, confidential items. 18.2, Taylors Hill West Recreation Reserve proposed usage. 18.3, minutes of the Club Caroline Spring Supplementary Grants Assessment Panel Meeting. 18.4, contract number 16/028 for the construction of the Bridge Road Regional Play Space, and contract number 16/030 for the constructions of the Melton Town Centre Streetscape Redevelopment Stage 2. 18.5, extension of contract 11/005, provision of the street and footpath sweeping, and 18.6, extension of contract 11/017, operations and management of Melton Recycling Facility. Thank you.
Thank you, councillors. Councillor, do I have a seconder for this procedural motion?
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who opposes the procedural motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the procedural motion carried. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for attending tonight's meeting. Please help yourself to some refreshments outside. Have a safe and wonderful Easter. And if you are travelling, please keep safe on the roads. Thank you for attending. And good night.